Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Now, so just as not to induce a heart attack in anyone who expects sport to come on at this time of the day, you're listening to a special extended edition of Saturday with Colm O'Mungon, looking at the results of the presidential election, the tallies as they come in. And at the moment, clearly, Catherine Connolly has won. Fine Gael has conceded that. We're joined now by Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson on housing, Eoin O'Brien. Good afternoon to you, Eoin.
Good afternoon. Greetings from Adamstown.
It is a good afternoon for you, isn't it?
It is, and I have to say, not just reflecting on our own count here, but talking to colleagues around the country, this really is a remarkable victory for Catherine Connolly and her campaign. I mean, here in Dublin Midwest, not only is Catherine Connolly, according to our tally, which is usually quite accurate, hitting about 70%, but she's got significantly more votes than Michael D. Higgins did in the last presidential election, despite a small drop in turnout, over 20,000 votes by my estimation. And that's because everywhere where Catherine and her team went, there was a positive message, a hopeful message. People who weren't happy with the government on a whole range of issues, who wanted a very different type of politics, who wanted a different type of president than been offered by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And they have come out in huge numbers. This is certainly the largest vote a presidential candidate has got in this constituency in the 15 years I've been here, and well deserved. And obviously Sinn Féin, all of the other political parties of the opposition and independents who supported Catherine's campaign on the ground as well as centrally, I think have to take a huge credit. This is a positive victory for a message of hope. And for me, that's the big message that's coming out, certainly from our count here in Dublin Midwest.
All right. Do you, I mean, you were only really in the campaign for a month, joining on the 20th of September. Do you regret leaving it that long?
Not at all. The campaign was a month long. Nominations closed, and obviously we'd endorsed Catherine prior to that. And Sinn Féin activists were centrally involved in the ground campaign, a really impressive ground campaign, again, bringing together a very broad coalition of people. And look, when a candidate gets 70% of the vote in a constituency, there's nobody involved in that campaign who regrets anything about it. Even when the spoils are taken into account, and they're a significant factor.
So I'm just going to interrupt you there, Eoin O'Brien, because I just want to bring the news to people that Heather Humphreys has been speaking at the Cavan Monaghan count. She has conceded and congratulated Catherine Connolly. So very much loser's consent there, as Teresa Reedy was saying earlier. Sorry, go on there, Eoin O'Brien.
No, even when the spoiled ballots are taken into account, and that's an important conversation that we need to have.
We will get to that, yeah.
Catherine Connolly in this constituency still did better than Michael D. Higgins did in the 2018 presidential election. So, hugely positive election. I'm hearing from tallies, incomplete as they are around the state, maybe a final Catherine Connolly vote in the 60% mark. But 70% here in Dublin Midwest, we're absolutely delighted, both for Catherine, because she deserves this, but also for the campaign that collectively Sinn Féin and others have run over the last 4 to 5 weeks.
Very briefly, could you just tell us what you brought materially to the campaign? I know there was a canvassing effort and clearly the support, but in terms of money, what did Sinn Féin give to Catherine Connolly's campaign?
The straight answer column is I don't know that. Okay. Obviously, that will be released when the campaign publishes its accounts. But actually, I think what Sinn Féin brought to this is an organisational structure in every constituency. Huge experience here in Dublin Midwest. Sinn Féin takes 30% of the vote, and we have a considerable organisation. And we were able to bring that to bear in collaboration and cooperation with all of the other players to ensure that we had a really big ground campaign here, leafleting, canvassing, postering, when the other parties were hard to find anywhere in the constituency. So I think it's that organisational experience, but also the considerable vote that Sinn Féin brings to the table ourselves. But like I say, it was a collective campaign, and crucially, a campaign of hope at a time when the government just introduced a budget that gave working people nothing.
And food for thought in those... Sorry to cut across you, because we're going to go back to the count centres, but food for thought in those spoils...
Yeah, people shouldn't dismiss the folks who spoiled their votes. I've actually spent a lot of time over the last 2 hours looking physically at those spoiled votes. And obviously interpreting what that means will take a bit of time.
Okay.
But clearly there are folks that are angry. clearly there are folks who didn't hear or buy into our message that there was a contest of ideas, that there was an alternative, and we're not going to ignore those people. We're going to go back into our communities and our constituencies and listen to people, talk to people, and say to them, you're right to be angry. This government is letting you down on housing, on healthcare, on childcare, on cost of living. There is a better way. There is a better way of changing this country. So will we ignore those people and dismiss them as others have done? Absolutely not. We'll listen with them, we'll work with them, and we'll try to convince them that the best way to change this country is with positivity, is with hope, is with a real message of change and all of the fundamental issues that matter to people out there.
Okay,
they won't be ignored by us.
Okay, we will have to leave it there because we want to get back to the count centres and get some intelligence from the ground. Now, the RDS was the stage for Monaghan legend Barry McGuigan's famous victory over Danilo Cabrera to retain his world title in 1986. And today it's the scene of another fight. And as Heather Humphreys has just conceded there, she has lost indeed. Monaghan native Heather Humphreys. Let's go over to the RDS now. Our own legendary Barry Lenehan is there. Barry, what are the constituencies that have been counted there and what are they saying?
Well, the capital is Connolly's column. The independent Galway West TD topping the poll in all seven constituencies being counted here in the RDS, even conquering areas regarded as Fine Gael heartlands. Dunleary returned the highest Fine Gael vote in the country in last year's general election, often regarded as the party's premier constituency. Today, the bastion of blue fell to Connolly, 49% for her to 37% for Humphreys. Even in Dalkey Town, Connolly beat Humphreys, with the Fine Gael candidate also performing below expectations in party stronghold Blackrock. In Dublin Bay South, also containing some of the most affluent addresses in the country, Connolly 53%, Humphreys 39%. And on just a half tally in Dublin Bay North, due to an absence of tally people, Connolly outpolling Humphreys 66% to 26%, beating her in areas along the Howth Road and Raheny, usually associated with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Elsewhere here, Dublin South Central, a left-leaning constituency traditionally, Catherine Connolly taking 79% of the valid poll. Dublin North West, Catherine Connolly 73%, and Dublin Central 74%. Catherine Connolly actually polled over 60% in Drumcondra, the home place, the stronghold of a man many feel within Fianna Fáil should be here today, that being Bertie Ahern, oh to be a fly on the wall in Fagan's tonight. And Dublin Southwest, when spoiled votes are factored in, Catherine Connolly 54% of the vote. Now, spoils are the big story here, Colm, as they are elsewhere. In Dublin South Central and Dublin North West, there were more spoiled votes than number ones for Heather Humphreys. One in five votes were spoiled in Dublin North West, with one box in Ballymun actually returning more spoiled votes than votes for Catherine Connolly. There was an active campaign there and leaflets sent out for people to spoil their ballot. In Dublin South West, in Jobstown near Talla, over half of all votes in two boxes were spoiled. And the turnout across the constituencies here, also to note, all below 40%, or the majority below 40%. Of course, in a parallel universe, what of Jim Gavin, the man associated with many of Dublin's greatest days? His votes across the seven constituencies here ranging between 5 and 8%. So unlikely to reclaim his expenses, but he might be on track to outpoll Fine Gael's Gay Mitchell's figure of 2011 of 6.4%. But recriminations within Fianna Fáil, watching on from the sidelines today, one TD telling me, phones melting within the Fianna Fáil backbenchers, lots of unrest and unease. And in terms of the next steps here, the adjudicating of spoiled ballots, I'm told, might take some time, which could kick the final declaration at Dublin Castle, maybe beyond the earlier estimated time of between 6 and 7 o'clock.
All right. Barry, Galway West, of course, is going to be one of the upshots from this, a by-election there. Any intel on what the approach is going to be? Will the left be as united in trying to fill that seat? And what's the shakeout for the other parties?
That's the key electoral conundrum, Colm, because of three of the last 26 by-elections over the last 30 years, just three of those have been won by government parties. So this perhaps is an open goal for the opposition, for this united left behind Catherine Connolly, but will they coalesce around one candidate? By my tot, there could be as many as 7 left-leaning candidates running in the Galway West by-election, with names such as Helen Ogbu for Labour, Pauline O'Reilly for the Green Party, Alan Curran for the Social Democrats, a former Social Democrats councillor, Eileen Shoaga, who was very close to Catherine Connolly on Shop Street last week, and also Mike Cubbert, a long-standing independent, the Mayor of Galway, all mentioned with going for a run. Independent Ireland, Sinn Féin also likely to field a candidate, Matt Carthy has said here at the RDS today. Independent Ireland narrowly missed out on a seat in the general election last year through Connemara councillor Noel Thomas. He'll be fancying his chances. And then Fine Gael, Sean Kine, the senator who beat Catherine Connolly by just 17 votes to a seat in the 2011 general election, he looked to reclaim the seat he lost in 2020, although he may face challenge from the former Galway footballer Eddie Hoare. Whilst in Fianna Fáil, Éamon O'Caoimh had joked that he might run, and maybe just to soar Micheál Martin's blood pressure up a little bit more after recent weeks, but he has since clarified he's not interested in running, with Ollie Crowe, Alan Sheevers and 24-year-old Killian Keane, the names mentioned by party apparatchiks today, as thoughts immediately turn to this by-election and in particular what the opposition might well do.
Nothing if not comprehensive. Thanks very much for that, Barry Lennon. Now we're over to the Technological University of the Shannon in Athlone and Pádraic Lodge. Of course, Pádraic, former presidential candidate Fianna Fáil's Brian Lennon Senior grew up in Athlone. It didn't see victory for him in 1990, and it most certainly won't for Fianna Fáil's Jim Gavin this time round either.
It definitely won't, Colm. It's a very quiet count centre here at the in Longford Westmeath in Athlone. The completed tally shows a clear lead for Catherine Connolly across all 7 of the constituency's municipal districts. A significant number of votes were spoiled. That's put at 15%. Of the valid votes, Catherine Connolly pulled in 58%, Heather Humphreys 35%, and Jim Gavin tallied at 7%. According to the Tipperary returning officer, there have been a significant number of spoiled votes in both constituencies. In some cases, people wrote the name of Maria Steen, who failed in her bid to get an Oireachtas nomination, and some referenced her handbag on their ballot. In many cases, there were profanities written across ballots and beside candidates' names. There was a partial tally carried out in Tipperary North. Most of the boxes that went untallied were in the Newport local electoral area. Catherine Connolly has stormed ahead on 50%. That is despite Labour TD Alan Kelly coming out to say he would not be supporting Miss Connolly. Heather Humphreys is sitting on 30%, Jim Gavin 8%, and the percentage of spoiled votes is 12%. A final tally for Tipperary South shows Catherine Connolly out in front on 54%, Heather Humphreys 27%, with Jim Gavin at 6%. The percentage of spoiled votes is 13%. It seems that in Fine Gael strongholds there, the expected votes for Heather Humphreys did not materialise. According to tallies in Laois, around 12% of votes in the constituency were spoiled. Their final tally, which excludes the spoiled ballots, positions Catherine Connolly well ahead on a whopping 63%, Heather Humphreys on 30% and Jim Gavin on 7%. Important to point out, that is a patchy tally, not fully resourced like it would be for a general election, so I treat those figures with high caution. Among Catherine Connolly's supporters in the count centre in Port Laois were local independent TD Brian Stanley and Sinn Féin Senator Maria McCormack. Finally, some difficulty establishing the final tally figures in Offaly, but clear indications from there that Catherine Connolly holds a commanding advantage. We're told that in one ballot box from Rath Community Hall, nearly a fifth of all votes were spoiled. Of the 256 votes cast, 50 were spoiled. And like the other constituencies, the first count is now underway in Birr.
All right, thanks very much for that, Pádraic, from the Technological University of the Shannon in Athlone. Now we're over to Sinead Hussey, RTE's Midlands correspondent, who's at Kilkenny College and the count for Carlo Kilkenny. Sinead, you also have the latest from Kildare North and South counts that are taking place at the Punchestown Racecourse.
Yes, Colin, we're at that point in the day where people are beginning to ask the question, how long do you think it's going to take? And well, it's hard to know at this stage. We are expecting to begin a first count here in Carlow Kilkenny in the next hour or so. Given the number of spoiled votes, there's a lot of adjudicating and verifying going on, so it's going to take a little bit longer than maybe we've been used to in previous elections. But the latest tallies we've received here, there's a full tally done here in Carlow Kilkenny, and Catherine Connolly clearly in the lead on about 61% of the vote. Heather Humphreys on just over 30%, Jim Gavin on 7.6%, and spoil votes 11.8%. And no matter, I suppose, what boxes you're looking for, and of course we're all looking for whether, you know, it's a more urban vote for Catherine Connolly, a more rural vote for her. But look, it seems in this constituency anyway, the commanding lead is there for Catherine Connolly across all parts of the constituency. Moving to Kildare North End, these are areas like Maynooth, Selbridge, Leixlip. Some indications in a box and nay that Heather Humphreys may have fared slightly better in some parts. She took most of the votes cast at one polling station in Naas, but that really does go against the national trend. Overall, the tallies are putting Catherine Connolly at about 63%, Heather Humphreys just over 28%, and Jim Gavin on about 8.7%. And moving then to Kildare South, again, a comfortable advantage for Catherine Connolly, it would seem, 65.4%, Heather Humphreys 26.9%, and Jim Gavin on 7.7%. And I've just been looking at some boxes, one in a tie, Catherine Connolly 82 votes, Jim Gavin 16 votes, Heather Humphreys 18 votes, and spoil votes 31. So almost as many spoil votes as votes for Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys combined. And another box in Castle Dermot, Catherine Connolly 100 votes, Jim Gavin 15, and Heather Humphreys 54, and 40 spoil votes. So look, counting will get underway this afternoon when we'll have an official result. Well, that remains to be seen.
All right, Sinead Hussey, RTÉ's Midlands correspondent, thanks very much there for joining us from Kilkenny College with all of those results. Right, back here in studio with me are Colm Mullany, broadcaster and author of How Connacht Voted in 2016, and Derek Mooney, public affairs consultant and former Fianna Fáil government advisor. To you first, Colm, you've had a while to chew over the various findings and what we're hearing back from those tallies from the RTÉ system on your screen there. What's jumping out at you?
I think what's jumping out, Colm, is the comprehensive nature of this victory for Catherine Connolly. I think there was some suggestion earlier on this morning when we were hearing the early boxes in Dublin being opened that it might be an urban versus rural split, and that Heather Humphreys would perform a little bit better in rural constituencies. There is some evidence of that, but no real, not to an extent that would close the gap to any massive degree. And I think that's a reflection of the strength of the Connolly campaign, and to Ono Brin's point that he made earlier on, the access to the Sinn Féin organisation on the ground, probably significant there in terms of the use of the party network across the country. Fine Gael are holding their own in many places. They're probably just getting the Fine Gael vote in a lot of cases, but they haven't been able clearly to expand upon that. And it's also a test maybe for Fine Gael of their wider party organisation and TDs on the ground. No real correlation between having more TDs in the constituency and a higher vote for Heather Humphreys from what we can see on the initial data that we have. So Fine Gael haven't been able to broaden their vote beyond maybe the core party support, which is really standing out in the figures all across the country.
All right, the spoils, any thoughts on them?
Well, it's obviously a very significant thing. I think the thing around that now is what happens next regarding the Spoil the Vote campaign, and whether a political party morphs out of that, whether one or two figures become independent candidates in future elections around that, and how that support that isn't insignificant, depending on what it is, 10 to 12% when we get to the end of the day and we get clearer figures, how that's harnessed moving forward is probably going to be the next discussion around that.
OK, we're going to take a quick break because we have a few more people to join us in studio, so we'll be back with them after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Well, we're going to get a reaction from the unsuccessful candidate, Heather Humphreys, who has conceded that indeed she has lost, as the tallies from around the country have been telling us. Let's hear it firsthand.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank all of the people who have voted for me, especially, of course, the people in Cavan and Monaghan who really have turned out in huge numbers to support me. I want to congratulate Catherine on becoming the next president of Ireland. Can I just say that Catherine will be a president for all of us, and she will be my president, and I really would like to wish her all the very, very best. I stepped up to the plate, and that's what democracy is about. It's about people putting their name on the ballot paper, about people going forward. So I have absolutely not one regret, and I'm glad I did it. I would say that I found the piece about sectarianism very difficult. My family and I, but especially my family, were subject to some absolutely awful sectarian abuse, and I was disappointed because as a country I thought we had moved on from that, and I do think there needs to be a greater understanding of other traditions in this country, and perhaps that's something that maybe I can contribute towards.
And that was Heather Humphreys covering a number of aspects of the campaign. That's an edit of a longer Q&A she had up at the Count Centre there. Martin Hayden, to you first. You've conceded. You've lost. What happened?
Yes, yeah, so I too would like to start off by congratulating Catherine Connolly and her team on the success and wish her every success as the 10th hoogter on the Héireann. You know, we hear from Heather there very magnanimously that, you know, ultimately we all want the next President of Ireland to be a successful President in her tenure, and she'll have our full support for that. I also want to take the opportunity to thank Heather for giving us everything she had over the last 2 months, and there was a lot of people in her team that really dedicated themselves to that for the last 2 months, and to recognise the fact that a lot of people did come out and vote and support her. I suppose from a Fine Gael perspective, back in March we decided as a party we were going to contest the presidential election because we believe in the institutions of the state and we believe the highest office in the land should have a contest. We were determined to try and win it, which we tried to do, but we were also determined that if we didn't win it we would have a very big contribution to ensuring whoever did had a proper mandate. And you know, by putting our candidate forward, unfortunately Mairead got sick in August, but then we had a decision. We could have opted out at that stage. We didn't. We decided we would have another contest, and again we put a candidate forward, and I think we made a contribution there to make sure that there was competition in the field, and that was a really important thing and something I'm very proud of as well.
How disruptive was it that you weren't fielding Mairead McGuinness? Obviously if you were in the mix from March, there was 4 months of planning on the basis of Mairead McGuinness. Were you scrabbling then by the time another candidate was put forward?
Oh no, this isn't I wouldn't make excuses, but I would say that Catherine, like a lot of successful presidential candidates in the past, was in the field very early. And I think Mary McAleese is probably the only exception that Michael D, Mary Robinson all declared very early and had a long lead-in time. And that has been proven to be a successful template. But I don't mean that as an excuse from our side. We had a lot of work done beforehand that we kind of transferred in terms of structures for a campaign.
But that's what I mean. How different a campaign then were you fighting with Heather Humphreys than you would have fought with Mairead McGuinness?
There is no doubt the bigger change was that it became a two-candidate strategy. It became a two-candidate field. Than three. That was a much bigger change to strategy than obviously Mairead and Heather were different, and they were going to have different unique selling points in terms of their story, and that was fine. We could adapt to that, and that was in August, so you had time to do that. But we never envisaged that it would be only two candidates, and Heather coming from a background of having been a government minister for 10 years backed by a party that are in government against somebody who has always been in opposition, you know, it very quickly then became a binary choice between establishment and anti-establishment.
Would you have been director of elections no matter either way?
I was director of elections. I was appointed director of elections in the end of June, early July, before Mairead was selected. So I was going to be director of elections no matter what. And you roll with the punches when you're in that role. But I'm just making the point that it was a very different. We would have anticipated 4 or 5 candidates in the field. We would have liked that. And
what difference would that have made?
Well, it would give people more choice. If you look at the spoiled votes today, and I think we have to be really careful not to think some will try and paint it that they're a homogenous group that would all vote the one way. And I was in Punchestown Count Centre this morning, and there was a variety of different reasons given on ballot papers as to why people spoiled their vote. We have to reflect on the very sizable amount of people who did so, took the effort to do so, but also to recognise that that went different ways. But for me, a lot of that dissatisfaction was from the fact that there wasn't enough choice for people. They wanted more candidates, and we in Fine Gael ensured that we were the only party actually that put forward our own candidate to contest it the whole way through, and the lack of choice was because other parties didn't do that.
Do you regret not having a different kind of a selection process? I mean, we saw what happened within Fianna Fáil, where when the leadership heavily backed Jim Gavin, who, you know, he has many attributes, but a media performer is not one of them. The same might be said about Heather Humphreys. She was a reluctant participant in media interviews during her career as a cabinet minister. She was oftentimes a nervous performer when she was under media scrutiny. And the same proved to be the case in the presidential campaign. And I don't mean that as a criticism. Some people are just naturally born to it and other people aren't. Some people have greater practice, as Mairead McGuinness would have done, and some people don't. So from that point of view, was she a less able candidate than your first choice?
No, she was a different candidate. And she was different from the skill set she had from her time in government. She would have had an awful lot of more engagement with so many more communities and public representatives, not just of Fine Gael, but of Independence and Fianna Fáil and others, the length and breadth of the country, when she supported so many locally led community projects. That was a very different role than Mairead, who would have been in Europe for so long. So they had different strengths and attributes there from that perspective. But in terms of the selection process, When Mairead fell ill and unfortunately had to withdraw in early August, we had three options within the party. One was to decide not to field a candidate. One, it was open to the Executive Council of Fine Gael at the direction of the leader to just appoint a candidate. We didn't have to open it up for another contest. Or the third option was to open it up for a vote again and for each candidate to try and get 20% or 20 nominations from within the parliamentary party and a percentage of the councillors and a percentage of the Executive Council. And that's what we did. We did the latter, and people in very significant numbers went in behind Heather Humphreys for that.
Okay. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer in the Southeast Technological University, is sitting in with us now. So what do you make of it all?
Well, one of the things with what Heather Humphreys said there about the sectarian abuse, it's just going into that general trend of toxicity that is out there on social media, particularly when women are running for election. And if you look at the spoiled votes, some are going from quite pleasant, none of the above, to what could nearly be considered to be racial hatred. And, you know, you have the privacy of the ballot box, you're not going to figure out who they were, but it is showing a worrying trend, along with what happened with the City West, of toxicity that is out there. And one of the things with the Fine Gael campaign was the whole issue of the cab rank rule and the way it was brought in so much about she worked for the banks. Barristers will work for whoever the brief is coming in for. So while it was a different campaign that you had to have because your first choice candidate wasn't there, Catherine Connolly was still in the field. And what was being brought out about that cab rank rule and what was being said about it isn't actually the facts of what's out there. So I would love to know what were the choices there on why he actually went down that road about the reality of what a barrister actually does as their job and trying to make it an issue.
Do you accept that backfired, Martin Hayden?
No, not at all, because it wasn't about the cab rank rule. If you look back at the video that was posted from Fine Gael, and we did it openly.
But that wasn't my question. Do you accept it backfired, though?
No, I don't, because the point was we weren't questioning. We said in that video the work of barristers in this area is very legitimate. What we highlighted in that video was we just played clips of Catherine Connolly's previous statements in the Dáil, where she referred to the banks as criminal activity and...
when she was no longer a barrister.
But never alluded to the fact that she had had that different role. She had comments in Galway County Council when she was acting as a barrister, similarly excoriating of the banks. Our point at that stage was there was a significant level of frustration that Catherine wasn't answering questions, legitimate questions, fairly. No fact checker, no journalist or anybody has said that anything in our video wasn't correct. If you talk about toxicity, I can point you to a series of posts on Sinn Féin's social media, on People For Profit social media, Ruth Coppinger and others, that said pretty awful things about Heather Humphreys that were much more personalised. They called her far left or far right. They called her elitist. They said she was out of touch.
You're lumping a few people in together, and we wouldn't.
No, but I'm just saying.
You've mentioned one name, and we don't want to say that one person said all of those things.
Sorry, we
leave it out for the moment until we can have a look at it. Sure.
But my point is, there was a lot of attacks. The opposition did a fantastic job of framing that, you know, anything Fine Gael said was smear, and Catherine spent a couple of weeks refusing to answer questions on the basis that everything was a smear.
So yeah, but from what I can see, a lot of people who were actually not going to vote actually went and voted for Catherine Connolly.
Let's hear from somebody who campaigned Catherine Connolly there, and that's Labour TD for Dublin Central, Marie Sherlock, who's joining us also in studio. Marie Sherlock, do you want to respond to that first before we get into the conduct of the campaign itself, what Martin Hayden has had to say there?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to say, this is obviously a stunning victory for Catherine Connolly, a stunning victory for the movement that has come behind Catherine Connolly. And it's a very clear victory for, I suppose, progressive, positive, decent politics, and a very clear rejection of negative campaigning and a resort to puerile politics, like, as in, you know, and with the greatest respect, Martin, but to hear, like, you know, just because somebody attacked Heather that you're going to have a tit for tat.
I will get a response from you, just one voice at a time, so
to me, right, Irish people, you know, in general, or people here in Ireland, value I suppose positivity, decency, a commitment to justice in terms of all their public representatives and what they go out and do. And unfortunately, so much of this campaign, driven by Fine Gael, was really negative. And,
that's,
you know,
not true.
I want to just acknowledge, right, because I know obviously today is a very difficult day for Heather Humphreys and her family and the wider Fine Gael family. And you know, she spoke earlier about her 7-week-old grandchild, and it's difficult on that family. But I think a lot of the negative campaigning was a real disservice to her in terms of this campaign. But the reality today is that there's a clear victory for positive campaigning, and that was everything about Catherine Connolly's campaign. And I'm very proud as the Labour Party to have been associated with
or
that.
Derek Moon, you want to come in there?
Yeah, there's a reason why political parties do negative campaigning, because it works. When a party does negative campaigning and it doesn't work, then I think you've got serious questions to ask.
Does
yourself.
It depend just what type of election? Because, like, if you look at Marie's party there, you know, every little hurts in the 2011
well, the
campaign.
Tesco ad, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, it worked to a degree.
Yeah, but you have to...
But it's for marginal shifts rather than overall victory,
well,
isn't it?
Well, the first thing is, who are you trying to shift? What voters are you trying to move? And is this the message that's going to get them from there? And it was quite clear by the time we had the cab rank stuff and we had the stuff about Hamas, etc., 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 that at that stage, Catherine Connolly was already in a fairly commanding lead. So how were you going to break voters away from her to vote for what was clearly the only alternative, Heather Humphreys? And by attacking Catherine Connolly in that way was not the way it was going to do it. You are not going to persuade somebody who is leaning towards Catherine Connolly, because they've perceived Catherine Connolly from the first debate as being the most articulate, the person with the clearest message, not necessarily a message people, everyone agrees with. I mean, I know a lot of people in my own circle of friends who voted for Catherine Connolly and decided very early on that they were voting for Catherine Connolly because they thought she was the most intelligent, they thought she was the most articulate, they liked the fact that she spoke Irish, they thought that she would be calm. They told a whole range of reasons on that. And then for Fine Gael to come and say, no, but look what you did as a barrister, it was not going to work. And I just intrigued. I think Martin has a really difficult job to do here as a minister, which is to defend the Fine Gael campaign. And as Director of Elections, he's not going to do anything other than that. But the simple fact of it is that as a campaign, it failed. And it failed as a couple of reasons. Number one, because it was built around another candidate. And Mairead McGuinness is a completely different candidate. It's coming from the same party, but not necessarily the same background, but is far more articulate. I mean, people go back to the very first debate and people were struck by the fact that you had one very articulate speaker and two relatively inarticulate speakers, all of whom were eminently qualified, all of whom were really good people. That's the whole point. These are decent, honourable people.
Yeah, it proves the Oscar Wilde thing. There's only one thing worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about.
Yeah.
And all you're hearing is Catherine Connolly.
Yeah.
Half the people are only paying 50% of attention to what's going on around them, and they just keep hearing the name, so it actually reinforces.
Would it have been, Martin Hayden, a better use of your time selling Heather Humphreys, you know, positive attributes, a campaign built around, say, you know, her background, her father or grandfather signed the Solemn League and Covenant. She could have been a unifying force in saying to unionists, look, you know, things didn't go totally pear-shaped. My family has lived in the South. We managed to maintain our orange tradition until, you know, a certain point in history. We gradually moved towards a United Ireland position. I've served as a government minister, you know. It's not a cold house in the future.
But those points were all made.
I suppose one of the lessons of the Catherine Connolly campaign is they said the same thing over and over and over and over again. Was there an element of panic where when you saw some level of momentum with Catherine Connolly and when Sinn Féin joined the race that you realised the odds were stacked against you and you went for what look now like desperation measures?
I do think we're talking about one video that I absolutely stand over that asked legitimate questions, and I think we're overstating its impact. There was loads of big things happened in the run-up to this election campaign, but I absolutely stand over. Every question that was asked in that video was legitimate, and what we were raising was the fact that Catherine wasn't answering questions directly on that point. And going into the last week and ahead of the primetime debate, there was always going to be a significant opportunity to move the dial with people. It was very important that people realised that Catherine was very skilled at speaking after being answered a question, but not necessarily giving an answer to the question that she'd been asked. And that was one of the ways we were trying to highlight that.
All right. I want to bring Marie Sherlock in there to respond.
Yeah, look, I think ultimately this is a contest effectively between a candidate that had a vision for this country and a candidate that didn't really have a clear message or a vision. And Catherine Connolly, time and again, that integrity, that decency came through in terms of that commitment to fairness and justice, and people responded. And, you know, we've heard throughout the day and on the doorsteps over many weeks that it was the, you know, the Gaeilge, the sport, the like Gaza in particular, you know, and all the work that Catherine has done over the years. And I think, you know, I've taken heart from the result today. Of course I would, because I was part of the Connolly
campaign.
Any
food for thought and the spoils for you in your own constituency.
But this is what I was going to say, like over, you know, almost 1.4 million people in this country voted for a candidate in this election, right? And to think that Catherine Connolly will have somewhere around 70% plus is an incredible achievement. With regards to the question of the spoils, look, there's a huge spectrum in terms of why and how people cast their vote in this election. And that will have to be
discussed. Are you taking too much encouragement from Catherine Connolly's result? Because up until recently, she didn't have a good word to say about the Labour Party.
Well, I must say, as a new TD, I've always maintained over the past year very good relations with Catherine Connolly. I think now, like, as in you're pointing to one or two individuals and in terms of I suppose a poor relationship previously, but we have had a decent relationship over the last number of years. And when Catherine decided to run, you know, she came and spoke to us as a party.
I wasn't making the point about Alan Kelly and that it was the kind of, you know, historically and even until recently what she had to say. We do have to take a quick break.
But she has been, like, as in she's acknowledged that we have played a leading role in her campaign over the last few weeks, and that's important to be said.
And it should be said that your party in that campaign was one of the few elements, the only element, I think, who'd run two previous successful political campaigns for your own party candidate. We're going to take a quick break. Back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
All right, back to the count centres now, and we're heading to Dublin Midwest. Firstly, that's the local constituency of the Fianna Fáil candidate Jim Gavin. Our reporter Niamh Lyons is at the Adamstown Community Centre. How are things shaping up there, Niamh?
Good afternoon, Colm, from Adamstown. Votes from the constituency of Dublin Midwest being counted here, as you said, and that counting has been underway since 20 past 11 this morning. I'm going to run through five counts in total with you. First, those Dublin Midwest details. Adjudication of the spoiled votes is currently underway, and the tallies there showed that there were 7,384 of those. That reflected 21.2% of the votes in that tally that concluded here earlier. When you exclude those spoiled votes, Catherine Connolly was on 71.2%, Heather Humphreys 19.4%, and Jim Gavin at 9.5%. Over at Dublin Rathdown, staff at the count centre had anticipated completing their first count by mid-afternoon. That is no longer the case. They say now it will take much longer to sort through the ballots, citing a high number of spoiled votes. One counter described many of them as protest votes, saying several spoiled ballots included political stickers and handwritten statements. The latest tally there of 100% of the boxes was 51% Catherine Connolly, 40% Heather Humphreys, 9% Jim Gavin. That is with the spoiled votes excluded. In Dublin West, votes are being counted at Fibblestown. We're expecting a first count there around now, so I'm keeping a close eye on that for you. But there were 116 boxes tallied a little earlier. Catherine Connolly was on 63%, Heather Humphreys on 27%, Jim Gavin was on 9%. And again, those results were with those spoiled votes excluded. Counting underway also in Fingal West. Again, returning officer Peter Whelan telling RTE he believes the election has produced the largest number of spoiled ballots that he has ever seen in an Irish election. He's noted he's never seen so many people writing messages on their ballots. There was a small tally group there. They finished their work sorting 72% of the ballots. That was a final tally, but it wasn't a full tally. The results from that were Catherine Connolly on 68.1%, Jim Gavin 8.84%, Heather Humphreys 23.3%. And again, that breakdown meant that spoiled votes were excluded. Finally, for me, in Dublin Fingal East, counting taking place in Port Marnock Sports and Leisure Centre there. Count centre staff are now taking their lunch break. That's as the spoiled votes are being adjudicated there too. Again, we're expecting a first count result around now sometime. There was a cross-party tally in operation there. Another word on those spoiled votes there, that made up 2,666, or that was 11% of the total votes tallied. That is 17 times more than the 156 spoiled votes seen in last year's general election. Excluding those spoiled votes, Catherine Connolly on 60%, Heather Humphreys on 29%, Jim Gavin on 11%, and turnout there 42%. So that's likely to be up there with one of the highest in Dublin, if not the highest. Back to you, Colin.
All right, thanks very much for that, Niamh. Now over to Brian O'Connell, who's standing by in Cork's Nemo Rangers. Brian, what's the picture there?
Well, the picture here is we've just had a first count in Cork South Central, and we had turnout at 46%. First count showing 64, just under 65% for Catherine Connolly, 28% for Heather Humphreys, and just over 7% for Jim Gavin. So that is the first count in Cork South Central here, which is on Taoiseach Micheál Martin's constituency. So a significant victory there for Catherine Connolly in that constituency. And then if you look down through the rest of the constituencies in Cork, in both the urban and the rural constituencies, for example, in North Central, Catherine Connolly, on the, based on tallies, these are, she's on about 68%. In East Cork, she's on again on 62%. In Cork North West, traditionally quite a conservative and quite a strong constituency for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, she's on just below 50% based on tallies, and in South West on 59%. And then Heather Humphreys would vary between 25 and 33% based on those tallies. If you look at Kerry as well, which I'm keeping an eye on, they've 95% of the boxes tallied. And again, Catherine Connolly has twice as many votes essentially as Heather Humphreys, and is even doing well, Colm, in places like Kilgarvan, where, for example, Michael Healy-Ray obviously is a very stronghold, and he would have been supporting Heather Humphreys. But Catherine Connolly there is outpolling her in those, in that constituency as well. We do expect all of those first counts after Cork South Central in the next hour or so. Interesting talking to Labour Party and Soc Dem members here. They're pointing out how well fundraising efforts went and how they were getting a sense during the campaign. They were getting a lot of small donations in. They were comparing it, for example, to the repeal and the gay marriage referendums and how they were reaching out well beyond their base, particularly amongst younger voters. Some of the senior Fine Gael members who I've met are very clearly annoyed here at what they say was the unnecessary negative campaigning. While Fianna Fáil actually in Nemo Rangers didn't have their usual numbers take part in the cross-party tally, but one senior party member was here for a while, but he said to me somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I need to get out of here, I can't take any more humiliation from Sinn Féin. And just finally, an honourable mention for Cian O'Connor. If you remember, he was one of the Count Centre staff who went viral at the European elections with a selection of T-shirts. And if you remember that, one of them said, maybe I like the misery. So what's he wearing today? It's a T-shirt, Colm, with a photo of a bearded and rather scowling Roy Keane with the words Keno for President. Whatever about Roy, some areas here where ballots were spoiled. Obviously, Maria Steen was appearing. She's on about 50%, I estimate, of some of the spoiled ballots. And then some of the other names that I'm seeing, Bertie Ahern, Billy Kelleher and Brad Pitt. There's three names I never thought I'd use in the same sentence.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Brian. Now, also standing by is our reporter, Della Kilroy. She's at Taunish to Simon Harris's local count centre at the Shoreline in Greystones in Wicklow. Della, any sign of the Taunish or his constituency mate Edward Timmins there today?
No sign of Simon Harris here today, but there was a big group of Catherine Connolly supporters here this morning. And now people have just finished pigeonholing the ballot papers and they're preparing to start the first count. The Wicklow tally covered 72% of the votes, with Connolly taking a clear lead in 64%, with Humphreys behind at 27%, Jim Gavin on 7%, and 13% of the tallied votes here were spoiled. Now moving on to Wexford, this constituency had a higher than average turnout of 47%, and the official count is now underway, but of the tally, 76% of the boxes were tallied, showing Catherine Connolly on 59%, Heather Humphreys on 22%, Jim Gavin on 6%, and the spoiled tally votes accounted for 13%. Onto the constituency of Wicklow Wexford. This was newly formed last year. 71% of the votes were tallied. And similarly here, Connolly was on 60%, Humphreys on 22%, Jim Gavin on 6%, and around 12% of the votes were spoiled. Now, local Fine Gael TD Brian Brennan said earlier today that the high amount of spoiled votes sends a clear message that people were frustrated at the lack of choice in the election. He told RTE that the lesson to be learnt is that we have to listen to the people. Finally, from me then on to Waterford, 77% of the boxes in Waterford have been tallied. Now, excluding spoiled votes, Catherine Connolly is on 68% of the tallied vote, Heather Humphreys on 26%, Jim Gavin on 6%, and 13% of the tallied votes here were spoiled.
All right, thanks very much for that, Della Kilroy. Now for the MEP for Ireland South from Fianna Fáil, Billy Keller is on the line. Billy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
This is the moment for your golden cleric speech, Billy.
Look, I mean, first and foremost, Cogardigas Ogdron Tuffa, Catherine Connolly and her team. I think, you know, it sent a very strong, you know, message, I suppose, to a lot of people involved in this campaign around the fact that, you know, demographics, how a person can deal with new people, bringing people together from maybe more diverse backgrounds than people may suggest. In fact, when I was out and about, there was many people were supporting Catherine Connolly that weren't traditionally from the left, and they were certainly there for many, many reasons. But, I mean, she did gel a lot of people together, and she inspired young people to a certain extent. So, look, I mean, it was a low turnout. Obviously, there was a lot of despondency in the Fianna Fáil party. Their voters didn't go out, or if they did, they reluctantly went to the polls on many occasions, and probably some of them spoiled their votes or voted for Jim Gavin as putting 7 or 8%. So all in all, I think there's a few things we have to take away from this particular election, though. And that is that, you know, the New Ireland that's there and has been there for some time probably feels a little more alienated from the traditional politics and how we go about politics in general in Ireland. I think it's a discussion for another day, but it's certainly something that we have to address in terms of how we allow people onto tickets, broadening out the number of candidates, etc., to ensure that the public have a choice that they're comfortable with, that at least somebody's on the ballot paper that could potentially represent them.
All right. I mean, I suppose, might I ask again, and now we come to the doubters. What are your own feelings with regard to your own party's approach to this? Do you feel still aggrieved that you weren't on the ballot paper, or looking at the magnitude of Catherine Connolly's vote, do you feel you dodged a bullet?
Well, no, I don't feel aggrieved that I don't feel aggrieved anymore. I mean, look, there was a process put in place eventually by our party. I mean, I have a lot of criticisms of what happened around that particular issue, and it all a lot of it transpired to be factually correct in terms of my concerns around how we went about selecting candidates, etc. So I don't feel aggrieved, but what I feel very strongly about is the fact that, you know, this has done a lot of damage to Fianna Fáil in terms of itself as a political party. Our voters are very upset. They feel, you know, let down to a certain extent. So we have a lot of work to do to make sure that we try and heal that over the next number of months. And that means really engaging more broadly with our party. We simply just can't assume that, you know.
And by we, you mean who? Who needs to engage with the party? That surely is the leadership's job, isn't it?
Yes, the collective leadership. I mean, look, we're all at some level of leadership, but I just think that at this stage, the idea that, you know, we always know what's best is simply not probably any more tenable. When you look at Catherine Connolly, for example, it was a bottom-up, grassroots-based campaign. It broadened way out beyond what you would expect for her core base, the amount of young people that were going out voting for Catherine Connolly in their first election. And I witnessed that in the context of my own daughters. Two of them are, you know, in their 20, early or 1920, and a lot of their friends were talking about the fact that Catherine Connolly was the person that they were most likely to vote for, and they had no skin in the game other than she captured their interest. And that clearly is something that traditional parties will very quickly have to look at. And if you look at the first preference vote of the combined parties, even though we didn't have a candidate in the field, it would lead you to believe that, you know, there is a change happening there, and that's something we have to be very conscious of. We could be left behind.
Just to speak plainly, do you believe that there is a chunk of Fianna Fáil voters, as evidenced by this presidential election result or indication so far, that is further to the left than the leadership?
Well, I think there's the first chunk was the fact that they were disappointed with how the candidate selection process took place. And then, of course, then when we ended up with our candidate withdrawing from campaigning, that clearly made an awful lot of our voters despondent. But I'm just saying more broadly, if you look at the demographics of traditional parties, certainly there's a greater number of young people are not coming to the traditional parties as you would expect in terms of our percentage, you know, 20-25% for Fianna Fáil in elections over the last number of years. But you don't have that percentage represented by young people. And that is just not tenable in the long term. So it's an area that we have to very quickly address. Otherwise, you will be consistently looking at situations where the Fianna Fáil vote will, you know, be getting older, and we won't be having young people coming in finding the party of interest or of significantly important enough in their lives that would merit them looking at us as for voting purposes.
All right. Stay with us a minute, Billy Keller. Derek Mooney.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lessons for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and the order in which they learned them is another matter. But certainly from Fianna Fáil, I mean, the one thing we knew for the last 7 years is that there was going to be a presidential election this year. We knew that Michael D. Higgins was term limited. We knew that there probably wouldn't be one candidate agreed amongst everybody. So therefore, there was an election. So when did the planning start? And Fine Gael can say with some justification, well, they started planning in March or April, but they had fairly much made up their mind it was going to be Mairead McGuinness, and they had a process that guaranteed it was Mairead McGuinness. And Fianna Fáil just sat and twiddled and wasn't too sure. And one moment, the Taoiseach said, well, there's no, Fianna Fáil doesn't have a right to nominate a candidate, although it has more than 20 Oireachtas members. And then we couldn't be in there, there could be this, and then if that person.
Billy Keller, when did the planning start? Because Bertie Ahern laid out a timeline in a message to Fianna Fáil members on the 29th of August. He said he made his preference pretty clear. He looked for an answer in Easter. He didn't get an answer in Easter. He had a meeting on the 7th of April. They said they'd get back to him shortly, he said he came back in May. He asked again. He came back in June. He asked for an answer. He came back in July, asked for the same answer. And then he says he found out in August in the Irish Times that he wasn't going to get it. So do you know what, if there was any planning going on at any point before that?
Well, no, I assume there was no planning going on early in the year. But I mean, what I do know is that, you know, they obviously, Jim Gavin was identified as a candidate. How he was identified, I don't know. There is actually a committee established to investigate that. Parliamentary party members and a person who sits in the National Executive. So they will be looking at that. But I mean, certainly how we went about it leaves an awful lot to be desired. Okay. Because what happened at the end of the day, you know, we ended up with no candidate in the field.
Okay, Jennifer Kavanagh, that's the Fianna Fáil story. The top line story is obviously Catherine Connolly won the election. The Galway West by-election will be an interesting test case for what comes afterwards.
Yes, and I know the Electoral Commission is very much looking forward to it because it's the only type of election that they haven't monitored yet. So I think they're going to enjoy their trip to Galway. But one of the points that Billy brought up there was about young voters. And while people are saying in the Catherine Connolly team that it was like repeal, it was like marriage equality, like the Green Party have learned that young voters can be very, very fickle. Like they came in on a wave of the younger voters, the tide went out for the last election. And I would just hope from this that young voters actually realise that their voice is important. That if young voters actually showed up and voted in the same amount as older people, we might have a better spread and spectrum of policies that looks at, say, the grant housing issues like that, and what is actually affecting people under the age of 30, because there's a lot of disaffection amongst that age group.
Marie Sherlock, I'd be interested just to know, where does it go from here? Because the Galway West by-election, it's every man or woman for himself.
Yes, and Labour Party will very much look forward to contesting it. But look, I suppose, you know, it's important.
There won't be an agreed candidate, as you understand it.
I know, and sure, why would there be? Like, as in, you know, the key thing about this presidential election is that, you know, Ivana Bacic wrote to the Social Democrats and the Greens back in January to suggest that we should try and have a common candidate, an agreed candidate going into this election. And I suppose
She was talking earlier as well, and she conspicuously left out Sinn Féin from any United Left plans. It was put to her and she went back to naming a list. They don't seem to be your favourite party, you know,
I think Sinn Féin are well able to look after themselves in terms of size, but in terms of the smaller parties, right, and you know, you have to look at our size here, let's be realistic. So in terms of us coming together and actually trying to form a coalition on that basis, it was important. Ivana, you know, kicked start to that process in January, but I suppose the reality is this campaign has been about a common left platform coming together, a number of parties on the left coming together. It's not just a rejection of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and of course that's what this election is about, but it's about more than that. It's about actually a common set of values with regards to workers' rights, with regards to climate action, with regards to social justice within our society. And I think the big thing for me now is that when parties do come together on the left and have a common purpose, you know, where there's a will, we can deliver. I think we will look back at the election last year and see it as a bit of an open goal for the left, that, you know, the left should have taken that election and be in government right now. But there was an element of, I think people said, well, better the devil we know but than the devil we didn't, that we didn't paint in the eyes of of the public a proper alternative. I think that alternative is now that has been painted right for and that's how we'll need to focus on the future.
And we will see the result in that by-election. We are out of time, so it remains to say, co-gorgeous, the Catherine Connolly, agus co-vrón, the Heather Humphreys.